One thing I was kind of curious about, and being a pretty amateur biologist at this point, is the difference between blinatumomab and CAR T. I mean, I know, at top line that they're very different, but in this situation, it looks like he maybe did better with the CAR T. Also, what kinds of tolerability issues are there with blinatumomab compared to CAR T? Are they similar or very different?
They do have a similar spectrum of side effects in the sense that blinatumomab doesn't typically cause a profound septic shock-like picture with cytokine release syndrome, but you can definitely get fevers with blinatumomab, very common from cytokine release, and you can also get neurotoxicity. That's one of the sides. So there's something that has to do with tickling someone's T cells or infusing T cells into them such that they become activated, that your neurons in your brain don't like so much.
And from what I've heard, you don't see much in the way of workup when these people, abnormalities or no focal findings, no CSF findings.
Yeah.
Is that the case?
In my blinatumomab patients, if they have cytokine release or neurotoxicity, well, the neurotoxicity, I don't do more than a CT scan of their head. Certainly, if it takes sort of a non-typical course, as we would see with blinatumomab, then I would do a bigger workup. If there was any concern of having CNS disease, I'd do a bigger workup. But it typically has a pretty typical time course, and then you can just sort of work through it.
So right now, where does blinatumomab fit into your treatment strategy for ALL? Where do you see it heading in the future? And what are you going to do if and when CAR T cell therapy becomes available?
That's the million-dollar question that I think we're all grappling with. I think now blinatumomab is being used in the setting of a patient like I used it, who is MRD positive, using it to try to make a patient MRD negative. So it's being used in that setting, and I believe there's an ECOG clinical trial that is investigating its use in that way. It's also being used in the relapsed refractory setting to try to control disease. I think the ongoing question is, could you use it upfront? What would happen if you take someone with new ALL, you give them blinatumomab, and they become MRD negative? You've potentially kept them from being exposed to a lot of cytotoxic chemotherapy. So these are the kinds of things that need to be worked out. In terms of how you sequence blinatumomab with CAR T cells, that I think is a little trickier in the sense that if I had someone only with minimal residual disease, I would probably give them blinatumomab first, honestly, because it's easier. And I think the side effect profile is more favorable. If I had someone with relapsed disease that doesn't respond to blinatumomab, I think that's where I would use CAR T cells. Whether we're going to start using CAR T cells in place of blinatumomab or as third-line therapy after blinatumomab, I think that's going to be the big question.
Maybe you can take a shot at explaining what you think happens or what we know about what happens or what you think might happen if you give blinatumomab and CAR T at the same time.
So I wouldn't do that. I think I would worry a lot about. Well, what would I worry about? Well, I'd worry about the toxicity for sure. I think it might be way too toxic in terms of the neurotoxicity if you combine.
But I mean, are they kind of working in different areas or the same?
So they might be, right? So they're both hitting CD19, right? But they're clearly working differently, as this case illustrates, right? Because the patient didn't respond to blinatumomab and did respond to CAR T cells, and the opposite happens also. So you can have someone who relapses after CAR T cells and then does respond to blinatumomab. Having said that, I'm not sure we really understand. The targets appear to be the same, but maybe perhaps the way the targets are engaged are different.
Interesting.